إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness to La ilaha illallah, he is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that he may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. Before we begin our brief talk on in defense of the Muslim women, there's two points that I want to make, and that is, firstly, tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to make the majority of the time for the sisters to make statements or to ask questions concerning the women or the defense of the women. The second statement is that it has come to my attention that many people think that today's khutbah, an admonishment for the Muslims at the Islamic Center of East Orange, people think that it was an apology to Fourth Avenue. No one has done any injustice to anyone at Fourth Avenue for there to be an apology in the first place, and I'm ashamed that people thought that there was an apology for something. It was an admonishment to the people, myself and whoever would feel that if he learns a little bit of this deen, that it would give him an air of himself that he's better than the next person, that we need to turn back to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and to repent and to remove this air from ourselves. This talk had nothing to do with the people at Fourth Ave, just as the week before, or the week before that, 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 and keep on going back. No one even knows, as was stated on Wednesday night, we didn't know anything about what was going on at Fourth Avenue. We're busy here at the Islamic Center, alhamdulillah, and none of our efforts had anything to do with them. So I'm sad that people are still thinking that there's some type of tie or relationship or problem or worry or something. But I think I can make it very clear so that the people could see, and I didn't want it to come to this point, but I was talking about a meeting where Siraj came. But I didn't want to talk about it to show the real relationship of the Islamic Center of East Orange and our stance and our position, so that the people can see we have nothing to fear, nothing to be threatened about at all whatsoever, and no problem there with the people at Fourth Avenue. Imam Siraj said that he would not speak at Fourth Avenue except that I, Abu Muslima, gave him the consent. And he brought the brothers from Fourth Avenue themselves here to the masjid. And he said, brothers from 4th Avenue, I want to say this to you brothers in front of Imam Abu Muslima. I would not speak at your place after I had agreed if Abu Muslima tells me not to speak there. And he said, even if it's 1 hour before showtime, if Abu Muslima says don't speak, I won't speak. And you can imagine the faces of the brothers. Imam Siraj, but you gave us the word. He said, listen, Abu Muslima's in charge here in this area, and nothing's going to take place unless he consents. You brothers understand that? If Imam Abu Muslima says that I shouldn't speak over there, believe me, I won't speak over there. How in the world, and this is just an example, how in the world are we threatened of anything? The brother after that meeting, just because I said something about the brother not making salah and the other brother spreading the affairs of the Muslims, how could people think that that was, in general, a statement of non-support of the Islamic Center in East Orange for 4th Avenue because of our feelings towards those brothers? If it was a statement of non-support, why did I tell Imam Siraj it was okay for him to speak over there? If it was a statement of non-support, I would say, Imam Siraj, don't speak over there. And alhamdulillah, I'm in contact with all of the people of knowledge. And if they try to go to someone, it's easy for me to speak. And they would speak to me or contact me as Imam Siraj did. I'm coming in your area. It's from other than yourself. What's going on there? Is everything okay? So I want the brothers to understand and the people to understand. Alhamdulillah, we're not threatened in any way, shape, or form. That the people over there are doing something, or there's some type of competition, or some problem, or some ill feelings, or bad relationship between us and them, there's nothing. Those brothers, as the brother mentioned, the brothers got together and did a separate thing by themselves. They didn't inform anyone, they didn't ask anyone to be involved, they just went out and did their separate thing. They only came to us to say, put up our flyers. So I hope that the people leave this thing alone. And I was hoping that Wednesday would be the end of it. That no one would think that we have anything to do with 4th Ave, or that we worried, or we have something against them, or we have to use the minbar to talk about them, or to apologize for something we did as if we did something. We haven't done anything, alhamdulillah. And I'm sad that I had to take some of the time from the sisters, and I hope that they would overlook this. But I'm just sad that people would even think that there was something to apologize for. We haven't set up anything separate here. We weren't dissatisfied and disagree with anybody's policies. All we're doing is the work that we're trying to do here, and that's it. So I hope that people would leave us alone and stop asking us and concerning 4th Avenue, to take all of that stuff to 4th Avenue and to ask the people there so that you can be clear on it. As for tonight's talk, it's very brief, as it's a quotation of only 2 ayat and 1 hadith. And no one could defend the Muslim women better than our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has commanded the men, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And I command you to live with them in kindness. And that this is a part of the best defense for the Muslim women. It's the commandment from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to the men to live with them in kindness. That the men, the Muslim men, have been commanded to live with the Muslim women in kindness. And this is the best defense for them, as the Muslim women should feel safe and secure, at peace with the Muslim man. The next ayah is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's statement. And the first ayah is from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 19, and it's part of the ayah. And this is also part of the ayah from chapter An-Nisa, or chapter of the women, verse number 34, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa," that the men are the providers and the maintainers of the women. Here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is showing that the men's duty is to provide and to maintain the women, meaning to take care of them in every sense of the word, taking care of them, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kind of laid it out in the hadith collected by Imam At-Tirmidhi, حَقُّهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُحْسِنُوا إِلَيْهِنَّ فِي كِسْوَتِهِنَّ وَطَعَامِهِنَّ. That the women's right over you men is that you treat them kindly in or that you do good with them in the issues of clothing them and feeding them. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying in general that the men are the maintainers and the protectors of the women. In every sense of the word, the men should maintain and to protect the women. The women's duties and jobs are just in our house or to be cared for, to be treated kindly by the men. I didn't want to bring everyone out just to make this these few statements as defense of the Muslim women or to have fooled people, but really we've dealt with in the past, alhamdulillah, many of the ayat and many of the hadith concerning the Muslim women as last night's class, etiquette in Islam for women, and we're dealing with many of the topics that concern the Muslim women. But when it comes to the defense of the Muslim women and her positions and what she's going through, I think that no one could defend the women better than themselves. So I wanted to use this time to listen to some of the statements of the women, and maybe some of the women, they have some questions concerning the women, and that we will handle that. I just wanted to make a point also, and this would be my last statement before the women can send up their statements and questions, and that is that we have an emergency phone number that if the sisters are having problems, that they can call this number, and inshallah ta'ala there will be some help for them. It's posted downstairs. It's 675-7214. 675-7214. This is what I wanted to present to today. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In Surah Al-Nisa, where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبَغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. And if they obey you, and if the women obey you, their husbands, then don't seek any way against them. The brother wanted some clarification or some elaboration, excuse me, on this point. I think that it's very simple. If the women do as they are commanded by their husbands, meaning if they obey their husbands, then their husbands shouldn't find any way to treat them harshly or to still be very firm on them after admonishing them. Once you admonish the women and the women come back to obedience to you, then that's it. Don't keep reminding the sister of, well, don't you do it again, don't you do it again. You make sure you stay away from it and like that. This is what I remember from that ayah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The sisters had some questions from yesterday. When a sister goes out of the home, be it to take care of business or any other thing, that she should she be accompanied by another sister, or is she allowed to go out alone well before Maghrib, inshallah? If the sister is not traveling, if the sister is not traveling, meaning she's not going any type of distance where she would have to shorten her salat, then there is no need or there is no requirement in Islam that the sister must have a mahram. All she must have is the permission of her husband to leave her house, and then everything is okay. If she takes another sister with her, or if she takes a mahram with her, then it's better for her just because of the society that we live in, and not that there is some legal injunction upon the women from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala or His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If a sister is not married and lives alone and something happens in her home, does she call the police or can she call her male kufar relatives or does she call the masjid? I mentioned earlier that she calls the number 675-7214, and that the brothers there, that they would respond to the sister's call, and if it was necessary for her to call the police or do something else, then the brothers would inform her, inshallah ta'ala. How is a sister to act around the kufar at her job especially the men who are corresponding with her on a daily basis, and this pertains to school also. We know that there's no relationship between the Muslim lady and the disbelieving men. I mean, if she's at work and she has to work to provide for her family, or because her husband is allowing her to work, then the sister goes to her job and takes care of her business. And there's no need for the sister to interact with the men whatsoever. If the men want to know about Islam, the sister can write it down, a number. Here's the number of the masjid. Call them and someone will take care of you, inshallah ta'ala. This is also if the women are going out to school, that the women, they should go and take care of their business and come back home, as there's no interaction between the Muslim lady and those disbelieving men. How is a sister to respond to the snide remarks from the people on the street? She doesn't have to respond. I can give an example from Malcolm X, rahimahullah. I think he was saying he was riding a plane, and everybody kept shouting, "Nigger, nigger, nigger." So he's just continuing to read whatever he was reading, and the lady next to him said, I think someone's calling you. So he said, I didn't hear anyone say anything. I didn't hear anyone call my name. He said, they were saying nigger, and it looks like they're looking your way, and they want you. He said, nigger, what's that? It's not even a word in the dictionary. I don't know what you're talking about. So you don't have to respond to the people's ignorance. You don't have to respond to the people's ignorance. I think it's sufficient for the sisters to come home and to complain to the men and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you the maintainers and the protectors of us. Why don't you take us to a Muslim country or make a Muslim community for us so we don't have to listen to that filth when we go in the streets? Because no one's going to be blamed for that except us. We either put our women in the environment where they don't have to be subjected to that, or we're the ones guilty. But the sisters, they don't have to respond to those kufar. You just continue walking. You have the dress of distinction, walhamdulillah. You just keep on about your business. Or as they used to say, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but break my bones, but names will never hurt me. What about harming? Names will never hurt me. Yeah, I learned it that one. What about the sister who is battered and or neglected, who seeks advice from the masjid, gets the advice, and then does the opposite of what she is told? Is she commonly held accountable for this? Example, the husband may abandon the sister, then what? I don't really understand what the sister is saying. But if the people have advice and the advice is good, and you leave it for your own desires, and then when you see the consequences of following your own desires, you're sad, what should you do? I don't know what to say about that one. Please advise the brothers that they are to be kind to their wives, even if their wives are wrong or disagree with them. Also remind them that their younger sisters require extra affection and attention. Jazakallahu khairan. It is always suggested that brothers, young and old, should marry the young virgin. I don't recall a suggestion being made for the brothers to marry the not-so-young sisters who aren't virgins. These older sisters may need and want a husband more than a young virgin sister who may still have the protection and maintenance from her father. The Prophet ﷺ married sisters who weren't young or virgins. maybe it can be suggested to the brothers to follow that example as well. Well, jazakallahu khairan. I had meant to mention this yesterday in yesterday's class, and I thought about it only after I had gone home, that I should have made the point when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Jabir in the hadith, "Did you marry a virgin?" And he said, "No, I married someone who was already married before." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You should have married a virgin so you could play with her and she can play with you." I should have mentioned from that hadith, and the sister is mentioning it now, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't prohibit the man from marrying a lady that had been married before, nor did he discourage the man from marrying a lady that had already been married before. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just simply encouraging the marriage of the virgins. We also see, as the sister mentioned, from the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, that he only married Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was the only virgin that he married, and he married the rest of his wives. They were already married before, meaning they weren't virgins. So this is advice to the brothers, especially in our community, in our times, where we have accepted Islam at older ages, and that the sisters, they need the maintenance and the protection of the men, because we don't have an Islamic state or a community that can address the needs of the women, like one of the women had complained, and after she was advised, after she did opposite to her advice, that I am now divorced from my husband and I don't have any place to go. Can the masjid pay for my rent and my food until I get married again? Of course, we don't have the money to do that, unfortunately. And here we would see the importance of marrying the sisters who had already been married before, or the sisters who may be a little older, that they need maintenance and protection much more than the young virgins. So yes, we have the encouragement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we also have to take into consideration our circumstances and to try to marry some of the older women, or the not so young women. What should a sister do if she used to work and provide for her home when her husband was out of work, and now that her husband works and still expects her to provide? Should she obey her husband in this matter? No. It's not incumbent or recommended that the sister has to provide and maintain her own self. It's the duty of her husband to provide and maintain for him. Or should she continue to provide and maintain her? Should she continuously remind her husband that Allah placed that duty upon him? As we were mentioning yesterday, the women, they should speak in a manner that's non-antagonistic with their husbands, and to remind them in a way that won't make the husbands angry, that it is actually the duty upon them. Like when the husband when the husband says, "Sister, you have to keep, you were helping out before, you should continue to help out." Maybe the sister can be quiet right there on the spot. And then, as we're Muslims, we read the Quran every now and then. She can say, "Okay, today let's start reading from the chapter of the women, for example, and let's start at ayah number 34. You can begin, honey, and let the husband read. The men are the providers and the maintainers of the women." "Oh, just the other day, remember you were saying that, you know, to the sisters, they should try and not to, and this goes for the brothers too, that when we talk to one another, we shouldn't just make everybody guilty. Yes, we're all guilty and we make our mistakes, but we should start to work with one another in a way that would be encouraging for us to change and to do right, instead of a manner that would break us up. You know it's your responsibility, act like a man.
I don't want to be married to no another sister. You're supposed to provide and take care of your wife. Provide and take care of me. He says, okay, you're divorced. I mean, who wants his wife to talk to him like that, even if he's doing wrong? And I remember it happened. A sister, she was complaining. I spoke to the sister. I spoke to the husband. He says, I don't want my wife to complain to me like that anymore. After I finished talking with him, a little bit later, the sister calls back. He divorced me. He said, of course. You think I'm going to let my wife talk like that? I don't want a lady that talks like that. So we should learn to approach one another in a manner that would encourage us to change and to do right for one another, and not to speak to one another in a manner that would encourage the separation of the husband and the wife. How should the men handle giving da'wah to non-Muslim women at work? The same way that the Muslim women should give da'wah to the kafir men at work. He should give the lady a pamphlet or something with the phone number of the masjid, so we can get someone from among the sisters who's knowledgeable in the deen to speak to that sister and call her to Islam. And alhamdulillah, there's a brother in the masjid that he comes in contact with women in his work. And every time he comes in contact, he tells his sister to write her number down, and he'll have a sister to call, and he brings it to the masjid, and then we give it to one of the brothers to give to his wife, so that the sister can call her and call that sister to Islam. And alhamdulillah, I think that this brother has set a nice example for the rest of the brothers to follow on their job, and Allah knows best. Does a sister have to ask her husband's permission to wear the veil or not once she has started? Allahu A'lam. Is it permissible for a brother not to marry a sister because he knows the ex-husband and he doesn't want to cause any fitna? Should the sister not ever get married because of this un-Islamic excuse? A brother has the right to marry whoever he likes from among the women that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made permissible for him, 2, 3, or 4, and if he can't be just, then only one. So the man, he has the ability to marry who he likes among the permissible women. It's in his hands, and he can do as he likes, and Allah knows best. If a wali is too busy to get someone who is interested in marriage, what should an experienced woman do? Alhamdulillah, we're trying to set up something at the masjid that should be a benefit to these sisters and also to the single men. We have on file, on a secret file, alhamdulillah, a book of sisters and a book of brothers, or a book of available sisters and a book of available brothers, and that the walis of these sisters, that they will get their hands on, inshallah, the brothers who are looking to get married and who they're looking to get married to, so that the sister would, every time the brother gets a chance to sit with her, he can show her some of the available brothers in the community and what they have to offer, so as to give her a chance to see what she's looking for, and that this isn't time consuming for the brothers. We've just gotten started, alhamdulillah, and it seems to be good, as some of the brothers that are looking for sisters, and we can say we have a sister this age, she's been married this amount of times, she's accepted Islam this time, she has this amount of children. A little bit about the sister, and if he's interested, then we can tell him to see wali so-and-so, so that the sister can get married. At any rate, hopefully, this is an attempt to help the sisters get married and also the brothers. As I had posted the masjid, that all of the brothers who are walis, that they should come see the imam, so that we can know who are the available sisters, so that if the brothers come looking, I can tell them to see brother so-and-so and see brother so-and-so, as they have particular sisters with them. And this would also be a help for the wali who is too busy. The brother said, I have a book of the single brothers who are ready to get married. Do I have a book of the married brothers who are ready to get married? I meant to say that whoever is eligible to get married, then he would just present his information, and then the walis would have this information available at their hands so that they can present this to the sisters. I love my fellow sisters and enjoy their company in classes and gatherings. However, I find these events often are divided by small cliques. What advice or da'wah can you offer? This division into small cliques, I don't see any problem with it. And the reason why is, all of us, we have particular friends or particular people that we're closer to or people that we hang out. This doesn't mean that we're against anyone else. It just means that we have the closer people that we're with, and we engage in the other people. And I like to give the example, when you see in many of the hadith, you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar were doing such and such. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar were going such and such a place. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar were doing such and such. As they hung together so much, no one will say that they were against the rest of the Muslims because they hung together so much. And there were other people from among the companions, as the Prophet ﷺ had even paired the brothers off, the Muhajirin and the Ansar. This is your brother, you hang with him. That's your brother, you hang with him. That one's your brother, you hang with him. So that we have, you have your closer type of brothers or people you hang with, and then you have the rest of the Muslims. So I don't think that this is any harm, so long as they aren't doing it in a harmful way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. If you need permission from your husbands to visit, for you to visit Muslim, non-Kafir relatives, non-Muslim relatives, mother, brother, and sister, or do you need your husband's permission? Women need their husband's permission to leave the houses. That's in general. Everyone keeps using the word non-Muslim. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran, He describes the people who are not Muslims, those who do not believe, the mushrikun, the kuffar, the kafara, the kafirun. You can take your pick from the beautiful words that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala uses, or from the words that Allah uses to disgrace them, as Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, innama al mushrikuna najis, to say the najis, mushrikun, or whatever. We should use the language that is proper for the Muslims, inshaAllah. Can you let the kuffar relatives do your hair? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It seems as though many men doubt strong believing Muslim women who want to practice the Quran and the Sunnah. Why do some of you brothers put the sisters in very low doubt? I think that might only be one brother, and he's repenting right now. So I think that all of us now are in agreement that we hold the sisters in high esteem, inshallah ta'ala. I work in an environment that sometimes I may have to ask for assistance. Example, lifting up 15 or 75 pounds or whatever. There are no females around to ask for help. What do I do? Leave it there for someone else to do. I'm on a time schedule and it is a part of my job. Do I ask for assistance or do I take a chance and perhaps strain or injure myself? I'm not married. No, as sisters, you don't have to carry anything. You leave that work for someone else to do it. If you can't do it, then what are you going to do? You just leave it for someone else to do it, or to tell your superior that they're commanding you or ordering you to do something that you don't have the ability. And hopefully they'll understand, inshallah. Or as the brother's adding, the brother said that the sister can send her wali to see the imam, as she mentioned that she wasn't married, so that we can get her married, inshallah, so she don't have that so that she wouldn't have that problem anymore. Why couldn't you go into detail with the ayat of the Quran and the hadith as you do when you are dealing with the subject of the wife being obedient to her husband? I think if the sisters remember, in the WOP2 tape that I mentioned, many of the ayat and the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in more detail than I have done any other topic that I remember. As I said, I would keep quoting until the sisters said that it was sufficient. So the sisters have said that it was sufficient on that day, that the brothers understand, inshallah. So I think for today that what was mentioned was a reminder for the brothers, and a reminder would benefit the believers. And I wanted to keep it short so that you can see also that we don't have to quote 100 ayahs to get the point. That alhamdulillah, nobody's stupid. We can hear ayat or two, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made his Quran small, short, and brief, and that we can quote an ayat or two and to get the point after that, inshallah. Could you please stress some emphasis on the husbands taking the children to give the wife a break so that she can have tolerance to deal with them? If I said that, I'd be the first hypocrite. If the husbands are busy, I don't know what they're going to do. But the men, myself, everyone, we should help our wives as much as we could. But if the men are busy, really, this is the responsibility of the women. This is the responsibility of the women. And even we see, and this is time to clarify this ayah, inshallah ta'ala, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 233, where Allah says, وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Where Allah says, and this is part of the ayah 233 in Surah Al-Baqarah, that the fathers have to provide, and this is for the divorced women who are breastfeeding, that the fathers have to provide their provisions, referring to the women, and their clothing in good terms. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's using the word to provide for the women with their clothing and provisions with a good and kindness, or with good consideration. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is meaning the children, though He uses the women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the women, and He's meaning the children, to show that the women are the ones that are in charge of the children, and that that father, whose responsibility is to take care of his children, there's no way for him to take care of his newborn baby if he divorces his wife who's breastfeeding that baby, except to provide for the lady her food and some clothing so that she could take care of her baby. Because there's no way for the father to give the baby money, or for the baby to spend any money, as the mother is breastfeeding. So the food would go to the mother, and that's how the child would be provided for. So this is just one example to show that the women are the ones who are taking care of the children, and that when they get a little older, then the husbands or the fathers can help to take care of the children. But on top of that, all I see, and most of my Islam has been in Arabia, that in America I find all of the fathers to be fathers of the year, as I see their children with them all of the time. And in Arabia you never see the children with the father. So I think that the women, inshallah, are being taken care of, alhamdulillah. What about Muslim men and Muslim women dealing with each other? Is it okay for a Muslim woman to give the salams to a Muslim man? Yes, it's okay for a Muslim man to give the salams to a Muslim lady, and a Muslim lady to give the salams to a Muslim man, so long as there is no fitna, or so long as both of the parties feel that they'll be safe from causing any fitna. And what I mean by that is, a brother shouldn't try to always give a particular sister the salam so as to let her know that, you know, and vice versa. The sister shouldn't give the salam to brother, a particular brother, in a particular way, you know, with that soft voice or something, to let him know, you know, that's not an ordinary salam, Zaki. What can you advise a wife whose husband has intention to make jihad and she loves Allah and loves her family? Please, words of wisdom. I want him to go badly. If he wants to go and you want him to go, then bismillah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the strong Muslims. Is there any difference in the way a wali or wakil handles a virgin sister who is looking to get married versus the way he treats a sister who has already been married? Yes. When it's a virgin, the wali or the wakil, he's going to get the man who he sees fit for the virgin girl. And she just gives her consent by being silent. If the sister has been married already, then the wali or the wakil, his job is to find out what you're looking for. As she's been married before, and she's tasted marriage, and she knows what she's looking for. And the Prophet ﷺ has said that the lady who has already been married has more right than her wali. This means in choosing a mate that is compatible for herself, as opposed to the virgin who doesn't know anything. So the fathers, they have to be seeking the men. Akhi, I think that you're the type of brother that should marry my virgin daughter, or the daughter that I am in charge of. It's on the father or the wali or the wakil. It's upon him to go out and to look for a suitable person for the virgin. Because the virgin, she's in the house, she hasn't been out, she hasn't been around, she hasn't seen anything or what have you, and that the father who knows better, he knows what to look for in a man that would be okay for his daughter. So this is the difference between a virgin and a lady who has already been married. What does a sister do if she isn't married, but within her neighborhood there are some teenagers who hang out on the streets and vandalize and rob homes? As the brother was saying, you should have your wali come see us so we can try to get you married. And also, and this is a chance for all of us to start taking a look at our leases and start to look at living in the areas around the masjid so that we can live together. The brothers, when they have openings in their apartment buildings or two family houses or houses in their neighborhoods, and they see a vacancy, they should hurry up and come and let this vacancy be known at the masjid. Because sisters like this, they can move in next door to a family that's already married. The husband is there, he's going to take care of his family, and then they would look in on the sister who's next door to make sure she's okay. So from this we're seeing that which is inevitable for us now, that there's no way we're going to practice Islam and to look out for one another living separately like we're living. There's no Islam living separately like we're living. And we have to realize it. And there's going to be more than one problem that's going to stem from us living separately. We have to start looking at our leases, looking at the apartments that are available, and start to live together and stop crying and complaining that the Chinese have Chinatown and the Portuguese have whatever area they have, and the Italians have this area, and the Jews have that area. How do you think they got that area? Sitting around crying like we do, or looking at their leases and looking at how they can move together and working together, saying, I have a vacancy in my area, do you have one in your area, and so on and so forth. I think that you need to defend the sisters and how the brothers here, including yourself, on how harsh we have been treated when we ask for advice or ask for anything. We're treated like a piece of dirt. And me personally, it is very emotional and draining. Astaghfirullah. I'm sorry if I did it, and I don't know what we can say, but I don't think that I have intentionally tried to treat anybody like dirt. And I don't know if that's how the brothers are treating the sisters. I don't know what else we can say. In allowing the kuffar in your home, is it necessary? In necessity, the superintendent or the PSCNG or repairs or to deliver something, and your husband, I guess I'm saying your husband isn't home, should you let him in? No. You shouldn't let any of those thinking kafirs in your home if your husband isn't there. The women should only let the people in the houses if their husbands are there, so that they can be behind and that the husband can be watching him to make sure he does his job and gets right up. Also, if it comes to repairs, don't forget that we have the Muslim men who are carpenters and electricians and handymen that can do your repairs. So if someone has some repairs in their house, they can call the masjid, and we'd inshallah contact them with one of the brothers who can handle that. As far as the superintendent, I think there's a few Muslim superintendents of some apartment buildings. So maybe if you move to those apartment complexes, then the Muslims can come in and take care of your house, inshallah. If a woman has a young child or children and divorces, explain the rights of custody according to the Sharia. If a woman remarries, how does this affect her rights of custody? The lady has more right to her children so long as she doesn't marry. And this is from the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when the lady and the man were complaining about the custody of the children. The Prophet ﷺ answered that the lady has more right so long as she doesn't remarry. Dawud Adib, he had a tape, which was a lecture. Say that again. Divorce, where do the children go? So I think that the people can see that tape. Maybe there's some detail for that, inshallah. Can the stipulation that in case of a divorce, the man has no right to take the children as long as the woman is fulfilling her Islamic obligations? I think that's related to the first question, inshallah. You indicated nice ways to approach one's husband concerning his obligation to provide and maintain. Why I don't understand when the opposite doesn't seem to apply when we anger them. No, the opposite does apply. Be direct and tell them to fear Allah. We had mentioned an example yesterday from one of the finest women of Jannah, Fatima bint Muhammad radiallahu anha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabina Muhammad, that Ali had told her to do something that was wrong. He told her not to put kuhul on her eyes. She didn't say, fear Allah, you don't know what you're talking about, stupid. The Prophet ﷺ told me such and such. But she just said to him that my father had commanded me to put this on, and this is why I put it on. So we can see that the sisters can use a manner that is befitting. If their husbands aren't doing their job, then the ladies can use a soft manner so as not to get the husband angry. And this goes vice versa. The husband should do things that wouldn't anger his wife. As we know, if we just get one another angry, that the result is divorce. And no one needs to teach us about divorce, as that is more almost as common as the salah in our masjid. Almost every day, you know. And I used to think that Dawood Adib was exaggerating when he said that divorce was so common. Wallahi, it's that common in our community, because we just can't get that street hardness out of us. We act as if it's a crime to forgive and forget, to overlook, to be compassionate and considering to our mate, even if they're wrong. Is it going to hurt? We already can see, as we're living, the hurt of the divorce and the children and the problem with where the children are going to go, and then coming to the agreements of who's going to take custody of the children and what times they're going to have it and what days of the week and so on and so forth. So I think that the sisters, they shouldn't take this stance that the sister is making of, no, we just need to tell the brothers to fear Allah and be direct. I think we've been direct to one another enough, and that divorce has been the result. Why can't we start being a little indirect and start using a manner that would keep us together instead of these manners that would separate us? Then we would not be in awkward situations at work, even though we were working prior to marriage and turning and during the marriage. Remove us from the workplace if that is best. I think that the sister had gave some nice advice to the brothers that we should remove our wives from the workplace. This is good, but what are you going to do when your husband isn't able to buy you but two pieces of clothing every year? Are you going to be satisfied and happy that you're out of the place of work? Or are you going to want to go to work to buy that extra 25 jilbabs? So the women, we have to see, and a lot of the women, that they want to work so that they can have their own money to do their own thing or to be independent, as unfortunately some of the women are encouraging. They say, listen, we understand that the men are the providers and the maintainers, but we live in a real world. We got to get our own, because when the men act up, we can tell them where to go. Anyway, this is a bad attitude, and we can already see the results of it. So the brothers, they should try to keep the sisters out of the workplace as much as is possible, considering our circumstances. And then the sisters, they should be happy with whatever the husband provides for them, as he is the only breadwinner in the family. I would like to rent from Muslims, but the rent is so high that I cannot afford it. I don't know what to say. Alhamdulillah, myself and my neighbor, we're both renting from the Muslims who owns our two-family house, and our rent is reasonable, alhamdulillah. So I think there's more Muslims who have places that are reasonable. Maybe you just need to look around, or even move into, if there are no places available with the Muslims, to move into one of the buildings owned by the Kufar that has quite a few Muslims already living there. Are there any hadith pertaining to the encouragement of men marrying the widows and the divorced women in addition to marrying the virgins? I don't know of any except that which the sister is just mentioning with the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Outside of his example, I don't know that there's any encouragement to marry the widows or the divorced women, so Allah knows best. The older women can still be playful also. I think after that statement, the men won't need any more encouragement to marry the older women. And that reminds me, whoever is looking for older women, there is an older woman that is available. She's 40 years old. She doesn't have any children living with her. Her former wali said that she looks very young and attractive. So whoever wants the older lady, that this is one, and they can see me, inshallah. Could you please inform the sisters on how to handle the situation of the husband staying out of the house until early morning hours, i.e. hanging out for absolutely no reason whatsoever. I think your statement is enough. This yes.
I was discussing something today with my wife. Like, sometimes you might present the evidence before your wife can read to her hand and you say something to her. Some conditions, I have heard sisters say before, like, brothers, y'all get everything. We don't get nothing. And you tell them directly what Allah says, and they become angry, and sometimes they find resentment with us. And it's like, it's not us saying, we're just putting evidence to them what Allah says. And sometimes they think of fine as resentment. And one of the biggest resentments is fine with the brothers is being able to have more than one wife. They don't like it, and they don't like it at all. And sometimes they like have a fit behind it.
Yeah,
all right. Clarify, you know, when Allah says from that, this is what goes and nothing else.
The brother, and we don't want to make an example out of him, but he's the example. The brother is saying that the men, we quote these evidences to our wives. We make it very clear to them what their Lord and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and then they get their attitudes and they show us their resentment. As if it's from us, it's from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a clear example of just beating your wife down, of not being considerate to her. As I said before, we should try to use a manner that wouldn't allow the lady to be feel resentful or to be against it or to be angry. Why should she be angry with the statement of our Lord after she said Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah? Why should she feel resentment with the statement of her Prophet ﷺ after she said, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah? The same way we do. Because it's brought in a manner that makes the lady defensive. We can, at times, if the lady is wrong, she's out of place, what about we can go, as the advice was to a brother just the other day, just buy the lady some flowers, some candy, or whatever she likes. You know, get her in a nice mood and so on and so forth. And then, you know, try to show her. Or as we were saying, when we read together or whatever, that we don't have to be as direct maybe as the sisters are with us to jump right to the ayat. But we can start at the beginning of the surah and wait till we get to the ayat. Maybe it would take a couple of days or something. Maybe for a couple of, maybe it would take a couple of days or whatever to get to the point. It isn't always necessary when somebody makes a mistake for it to be changed immediately right there on the spot. Things could take some time. And it's really not that much harm if it takes a little time to work together, to be patient in order to work this thing out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I hope I didn't offend you, Ashi.
You didn't offend me. All I'm saying is this. I treat my wife very kindly. I never beat my wife down. I heard a statement come right from one of your questions where the sister said that we treat them hard. And all I'm telling you, I just use that as one of the examples. I'm not saying like you go run to your wife, look, I can have another wife and blah, blah, and so on. No, I'm not talking about this.
I understand.
I see that it's something that Allah says, and these sisters sometimes they have a disagreement with their Lord. Is it right for them to bring it to you? I'm not talking about.
I understand that. We have the same problem too. And I don't think nobody in this room could stand up and say, you can't quote me one ayah or one hadith that I'm going to go against. And if somebody can stand up, let him stand up so I quote it against him and let him show him that he can't live up to this stuff. We fall short. We're human beings. And don't think that the sister is just falling short, that she got a problem with her Lord. All of us do. And that's why we're trying to say astaghfirullah every day so that Allah could forgive us. But all of us are falling short, not just the sister. And we can see as we come to the masjid for the salat that almost any sister can almost always complain, oh, brother, why don't you go to the masjid for the salat? And I mean, I don't know, you know, most of the sisters would be justified if they made that statement. Most of the sisters. As we see, the masjid always packed for Jumu'ah. and the classes and the lectures, and then we don't see it during the regular salat. Even the salat when the times when the people aren't at work, except for the regular brothers and the sisters that attend the masjid. So I think that all of us, we have our problems, both the husbands and the wives, and we just have to work together and start to overlook and to understand that it takes time for certain issues for the women to understand or to come around or to handle. And the same thing for the brothers and the sisters should be a little more understanding. How are we going to have our marriages last if we don't have no type of consideration, no understanding? You should see how many marriages break up in the first year, in the first 2 years, in the first 3 years. There's not 10 people who can stand up right now maybe and say, I've been married for 10 years. I mean, subhanAllah. I mean, please advise the brothers to do special things and the sisters to do special things to keep their marriage young. Example, a husband bringing his wife home a surprise present as a token or his love and vice versa. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That was just the adhan, and the salah will be in 10 minutes, so we finish up these last questions, inshallah. Please let the brothers know to tell your wife that she better obey him is harsh treatment. And there is a better way, example, quoting an ayah or a hadith. And I think that advice came in that I hope that I didn't encourage the brothers to just tell their wives, you better obey my every command, when we had our talk on the women of Jannah. But this was just to show the women the verdict that they have to obey their husband's every command. But this isn't to say that the men should just be harsh. Sister, listen up. I told you to sit down, because you got to obey my every command. Not like that, that we should be with our wives. So the sister is just giving an example and reminding us, alhamdulillah. Also remind the brothers that there are sisters who work hard at trying to please their Lord, which also includes pleasing them. So ask them to be patient and to be grateful for good wives. And I think this is one of the statements that I always try to make to the brothers when they say they have problems with their wives. I use the action, is your wife fornicating? Committing adultery? If he says no, I say, well, what's the problem? Really, seriously. We living in the days of fornication and adultery, where we yesterday it was a crime if you weren't fornicating. You're not fornicating? Everybody will laugh at you. So we living in the country of fornication and adultery. Your wife isn't fornicating. She's not committing adultery. She's dressing like a Muslim lady. She's making her salah. She's making wudu. She's cooking you halal food. I mean, what do you want? I mean, you act like the women aren't going to give you a problem, as if they weren't created from the rib. I mean, subhanallah al-azim. We should really look at some of the things that the women do to be minor. Because really, when you look at fornication and adultery and what the sisters do, it's really minor. And it's a lot, and a lot of it we could tolerate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I know men are the providers and maintainers for their wives, but shouldn't a woman work to have a savings for her or their golden years? Nothing lasts forever, and if the marriage ends, the woman could wind up old, homeless, penniless, and without a man. Allah knows best, but this seems to be the attitude of the women that encourage the men to divorce them. Women are always looking for that day when their husbands are going to divorce them. But we can tell these type of women that alhamdulillah, there are women who do not work at all. Their husbands provide for them, that they're happy, and they don't have the slightest thought that they would ever work, because they know that their husbands are going to provide for them. And there are even young women who have yet to be married yet, or have yet to be married, who are saying already, and I heard it before, that the sisters were saying, I'm never going to work. I'm never going to work. And this is the attitude of the women who are going to be satisfied with their husbands, who are going to be patient with, who are going to be patient with what their husbands provide for them, and they're not looking for that when I divorce. And the men, they shouldn't be doing the same thing. Everybody's looking at, well, when I divorce her, what I'm going to do? Oh, yeah, when I divorce my wife, I'm going to marry such and such. Or I'm going to do such and such. And then the sister is talking about, I might as well get my savings, because when he divorced me, at least I'll have something. Everybody's looking for the divorce. Maybe that's why we have so many divorces. When are we going to look for the things that are going to keep us married and not the things that will divorce us? You're going to say, Akhi? Could you please tell the brothers not to say sarcastic things to their wives if their hair is not always presentable or if they are not always pretty? I think, and this is to be serious, I don't think... I haven't heard of any cases where the brother divorced his wife because her hair wasn't done. Or she didn't look as pretty as she looked when he got that first good look. So I don't see that to be a major problem. But as we were covering in our class yesterday, the etiquette of the women, that we had covered the etiquette that the women should do their hair, the hair on their head, and that they should shave their pubic hair in order to prepare themselves for their husbands. So this is definitely one of the etiquettes of the Muslim women, that they take care of their hair and that they make themselves presentable for the Muslim men. I hope that no one was offended because of the short talk, and I hope that it was beneficial. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Don't forget that today's talk was a fundraiser for the Islamic Day School, and that dinners will be sold after the salat downstairs, so everyone should get their dinners and